just running lean and running mean. Yeah. I love that, dude.
All right.
Today on the latest development, we got a new friend and face in the podcast, Daniel from Nomu, who's going to come on to explain how they are tackling big e-commerce and the internet capital markets of Solana. Daniel, welcome aboard.
Dan, how you doing, man? Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, doing well. Excited to get into today's conversation and, learn a thing or two.
Likewise.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you, before we get into Nomu, give a background. How'd you get into crypto? That whole spiel.
Yeah, sure. Keep it short. Same reason as most of us. You start for greed, you stay for the philosophy of it. 2018, rode the whole bear market down. It was a beautiful thing. And then at one point when I had no money left, I realized, well, what is this actually that I'm spending so much time and energy in? Got orange-pilled by the classic ways through the Bitcoin standard personally. And then realized that there's something really powerful happening here. And since then, a permanent fight of mine in the industry. So I was working at Swissbook for a while. So if anybody's in Europe, Swissbook is a much smaller version of Coinbase in Europe, but still like a million users, $2 billion in assets under management. And I was leading the product there. And a lot of the things that we were trying to do is, how can we move crypto back to what it's supposed to be, this empowering tool of decentralized ownership, for permissionless across the world for anybody, from this very speculative hype bubble that we found ourselves in for the last, since the ICO era, which was very important, but a lot of detrimental that came from it. And on top of that, the asymmetry that we saw between insiders and the communities and how all of these power balances were a bit off in crypto, which is just growing pains. But we've been working very hard at reestablishing some balance there. And that's been my life mission ever since.
I love that. And how long have you been working on Nomu for?
So Nomu is a very recent endeavor. It's officially been going now for, I'd say, 6 months. But the idea of it has been brewing in the back of my mind for a whole lot longer than that. And my previous role, which was co-founding Borgpad, which is a Swissborg launchpad on Solana, there was always some remnants of Nomu coming into place there. And it all was just a natural following from there. But the idea has been going on for a while, but officially since 6 months.
Okay. And who's how big's the team? Who do you got cooking?
Single best thing I think we've done at Nomu is community building and team building. In the team, we've got six amazing guys, all hungry, all underpaid, all here for the mission. and that's how we want. That's how we like it. So it's old friends of mine. It's new friends of mine. We're all here because we believe in a bigger mission. And yeah, most of it's engineering. We've got a designer from Alibaba, which is great e-commerce-wise because it brings some of the Web2 know-how into Web3, which we definitely need, and creates a UX that actually can bridge the gap between both worlds. And then myself, just as head of product from Swissbook. So it's good mix and young guys and all very, very hungry.
Awesome. All right. Give me the Nomu one-liner and then give me your description of internet capital markets. And then we're going to talk about how Nomu is building for that.
Gotcha. So Nomu elevator pitch is Kickstarter that actually pays you. That's the one sentence. And Kickstarter, if you ever experienced buying a product there, you help a product go from zero to one. You are its funding. You are its early marketing. You wait months for the product to arrive. You might get it. You might not get a refund. And then when you get it, you get a V1, which is always rough around your edges. It's a V1. It's very hard to build a product. It's no one's fault. It's just a reality. You pay the premium because it's also very expensive to do a product for the first time. There's no economies of scale. Nothing of that's kicked in yet. And then because you were early, you waited for 9 months and gave them the money, you might get a t-shirt or a thank you note, something along those lines from a founder that tell you, hey, cheers for supporting. And then if the product wins and ends up being a huge thing, like there was early successes, I can't remember, it was a doorbell, but some of those products that really became huge companies. Well, you as the early consumer, the early adopter, you got nothing in return. You just got the bragging rights, perhaps, of being able to say that you were early. But in the world of internet capital markets, especially in Web3, where we can have really strong capital formation, which we've seen since ICOs and we still see now around all sorts of launchpads. But also we have the technical ability to do really easy and cheap distribution of money, you can now actually complete the loop that you were never able to do with Kickstarter, which is if you pre-buy a product and you help it make, grow and become a success, you should share part of that upside. And that's what Nomu does. It simply allows you to realign users and investors, producers and consumers. It's all one and the same person. Whoever creates the value shall receive the value. That's our motto. And we're applying that to e-commerce.
I really like that. And I think about it from a couple of perspectives. I like that you get shared upside. I like being able to follow products and people building stuff to be able to get access to their upside. Like I quite like that. It makes me think of like, I mean, I used to do Kickstarters and I know that pain. Some I still have that I cherish. Some I'm like, oh yeah, I never did get that. I wonder what happened to that. And so I can see the like, I can see the wheels firing. Like, tell me more about how you're going to go after this vision. Or first, like, what got you to, you know, Web3 kind of kickstart? And is that sort of the best analogy, or is there a better analogy?
Yeah, it's a very good question. The Kickstarter, we're not, to be very clear, we're not a crowdsourcing platform specifically like Kickstarter. You must imagine this much more like a pre-order of a product, like you would pre-order Tesla and you allow Elon to produce a Cybertruck and give it to you 2 years later. I think that Web3 today is very underutilized for all the good things it can do in the world, and it's very overutilized for just aggressive speculation. And so a big part of my mission and what drives me and like my inner fire is be like, I really believe in Web3. I feel like everybody's got this stigma around that industry. And often, I don't know how comfortable you are with telling friends around you that you work in Web3. The harsh truth, that depends who asks me and how I know well them and what I know about their kind of judgments, how old they are, like what they think about like crypto, their experiences. I might just tell them when they ask me, what do you do? I'd say, well, I work in finance, you know? And I think I'm not the only one in this industry that's kind of tries to skim away that question of what do you do while working crypto? And then there's like a whole load of judgment that comes in, like, okay, all crypto, isn't it just like all like pumps and dumps, and isn't it just like scams all the way? And then you got to explain, no, not really. It's got all these cool things to do. My point is, that's a very good signal that something's not quite right in the industry that we're doing if you can't fully put your heart behind it and be proud of what you do in the industry at work. We all see something, but there's an asymmetry between what we see and what the rest of the world sees. And as always, when there's a stigma, some of it is true. It doesn't come from nowhere. And the truth is that if you look at the past few years, well, from the low float HiveDV meta to snipers coming into meme coins, dumping communities, and most generally speaking, just having so this industry skewed towards very short, very aggressive speculation that over-rotates because it's just based on attention, nothing else. Well, you create a certain narrative that's not sustainable in the long term. So the idea was, how can we create something out of Web3 that is, for once, generative, not extractive, by design, and applies it to a whole new industry that no one's really tapping into yet, which I think is e-commerce. And e-commerce is a brilliant point to do that. We know that consumer crypto is happening. Consumer crypto right now is all just ICOs and launchpads. There's 1,000 of them in Solana. I found it one of them. I was just tired of it. So e-commerce, there's a lot of issues in Web2 e-commerce. It's a very mindless experience. You treat it like an ATM. You buy stuff you don't really need with money you might not even have. You buy now, pay later kind of thing. Your data is then farmed, used to sell back against you again. And you just enter this loop of very mindless, like dopamine chasing consumption, which is wasteful. Which is for the environment, for your wallet, all sorts of things happening that are wrong. And so if we can take back the first principle of Web3, which is we need to create sound money. That's like Bitcoin. It's very first idea of Bitcoin was we need to create sound money. Fiat is nonsense. Sound money is good. So if we can create sound money and then in this case apply it to sound commerce, which is what Nomu tries to do here, then my hope is that we can create a shopping experience in this capitalistic society of ours that feels a little bit better than it feels right now, where it's less wasteful, you're more conscious. And so my big vision for Nomu is that if today people go on Temu and all these like quick shopping platforms and look for price, tomorrow they'll go on Nomu, which is a marketplace as well, but they'll look for upside. And when you start looking for upside of products, so you buy a product and you look like, okay, well, this product can give me this much upside if it sells, I really believe in it, your whole reflex and consciousness of that purchase is no longer like a quick dopamine hit when you click the buy button, but it's a much longer term vision of like, this thing can really be valuable. And so maybe I buy less, but I buy more valuable stuff into the future, and I can get behind stuff. I can really believe in it. And ideally, I might get some passive revenue from that as well, if it does well. And I think that capital is the most efficient way of accumulating more capital, certainly more than labor. You can't just grow any sort of wealth out of just working a salary. You need to deploy your actual capital. And the most accessible form of that capital, in my opinion, is spending capital. People might not have investment capital. They might not have capital to buy a house. Everybody has capital to buy groceries, or at least most people around the world, and to do your discretionary shopping. And so if we can turn that capital into something that's productive, then we might be onto something. And that's the whole vision behind Noma.
My wheels, they're turning. I really like Sound Commerce. It struck a good chord for me.
And it's good to know.
I want to think. I'm going to try to ask the question in a concerted manner as possible. I want to know about, you know, your ideal customers. Before you tell me about your ideal customers, I want to talk about like the different ways in which, you know, your marketplace kind of operates. Because you could really apply this to, like you said, groceries. You could apply it to cars. You know, you could apply it to startups, well-established businesses. It really kind of scales.
Absolutely.
And my first thing I was thinking about was like, okay, like I buy toilet paper all the time. You know, I have a favorite toilet paper brand. You know, I can go to the store and buy the toilet paper and I get nothing for it. Or maybe I go to the Nomu marketplace and I buy the toilet paper brand. But maybe I'm paying a little bit of a premium because at the same time, I'm getting equity for that purchase. So I want to know, like, how does the marketplace function to enable the purchasing of goods while getting upside?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, please, let me finish your question, please.
I'm thinking about it more, and I don't want to jump in front of your answer, but I guess it comes down to the vendors that you sign on and them deciding the parameters around what they're selling and the offering. And is it a one-time purchase? Is it a subscription purchase? All these things. And now I'm just sort of getting ahead of myself, but I'll give it back to you.
It's perhaps the single most important question. So it's very good that you ask it. And it definitely works better with some products than others. And we need to be very selective about how we go to market. I don't think it'll be wise for anybody, for us at least, to go and sell some toilet paper and sell some water and sell some different things. Like the same way that Amazon started by selling books, we're going to start with something very specific and scale it out from there. But holistically speaking, the model works in a very simple way. This is an RWA play at core, if you think about it. But we just, instead of doing like RWA for real estate and like very, like where you fractionalized paintings or something rather abstract like that, we try and take it down to the most tangible units that there is. And that's a single product. Like here, there's a deodorant stick that I happen to have next to my desk. Every single consumer good, whether it's deodorant stick, pot of honey, whatever it is, has a margin. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a viable product. It costs less to produce than you sell it for. If you don't do that, then you won't have your product for very long. And so what we do is we tokenize part of that margin. And that's what we use to redistribute back to the consumers. So essentially, it's a margin share. And the way that it is understood by producers of products is that this is your customer acquisition cost. Instead of spending God knows how much on a marketing campaign, if in this case, someone pre-buys your product and helps you produce that batch and they get a revenue share from that batch, then those people are not only going to become your first consumers, they're not only going to be funding, but they're going to become your ambassadors. They're going to be your brand advocates because you allow them to win with you. It's the first time the brand gives this degree of loyalty back to, or rewards that degree of loyalty. It's the next order of magnitude above points, above coupons, whatever you could have gotten in the past. Now we can actually share you the upside. And so if I start having two, we're not going to do deodorants, by the way, just having it here as an example. if I have a choice between having this deodorant, which I really like, and I get to win with it versus any other deodorant, my choice is made. And I'm going to be sure to tell my friends about this one. And so as a new direct-to-consumer marketing strategy, this is the most viral possible loop of you not having to kind of guess your CAC expenses on Facebook ads and spend your money, energy on those kind of campaigns. You can actually just have the most powerful word of mouth in the world and referral system through aligning incentives with your strongest consumers, with your power users. And that's what we allow you to do. So this works best with high margin products because you can share more of the upside. And at first, what we're going to do is do a very specific category of product that is related to Web3 communities. I don't think we've announced it yet, so we'll keep it secret, but it's going to be released very, very soon. And we're going to do that with some of the strongest IPs in Web3 and scale it. It's going to be fully permissioned. So we choose the deals. We do the unit economics behind. And when you come to the website, you'll know exactly how much you can earn per unit sold. So it's all ahead. It's all transparent. You buy your product. You're like, okay, if I buy this many and this many gets sold, this is my potential return. And it's very gamified. There's a lot of fun things happening. Once we get a success with that, then we scale horizontally and vertically across different IPs, industries, and products. But first, we're going to be very, like same way that Amazon did with books, we're going to just sell one product and we're going to get known for Nomu. Oh, it's the marketplace that sells this. Okay. And then once we're known for that, we'll scale beyond that. But long answer for a short point, it's we tokenize the margin of any product and that's where we redistribute back to you.
That is... I'm just taking some notes here. Not that I'm not recording this.
Very well answered. Very well answered. When you said tokenizing, selling the tokenized margin, I was like, okay, here we go. And then when you explained marketing costs, I was like, so real. So many brands have to spend so much money on marketing. And for me, I don't even really fully appreciate those numbers, but I know that it's very true. And you're essentially getting two things. You're saying to products and you're saying to consumers, spend less on marketing so your consumers can get that money.
Exactly.
And then at the same time, grow a community because you're creating evangelists. And I think that's really powerful, especially Web3 is really good at communities like Solana. That's what people built here because you release something on Solana and it gets huge amount of attention. You have a lot of power. And I can see why with Nomu, you're launching and now you can say whoever you end up partnering with, boom, there's your guys. And so you're helping yourself grow. You're helping the other communities grow. And I really think this is a good chance to have some success. It does make a lot of sense.
Appreciate that. That's good. Makes two of us. I think so too.
Yeah.
One of the positive things I think came out of Web3 is exactly what you just said. The fact that people want to be part of a community. I think this era of buy 10, get the 11th for free. That model of loyalty is just outdated and doesn't work anymore. You want to have a deeper connection with the brands and the products that you love. And so if we can enable that mechanically by allowing any brand to come on and operate this whole collection of money and the redistribution of value back to consumers and make it seamless for them, we can be associated as what for us is two birds with one stone here, really. One, we enable that commerce to occur and this whole business to function. But we also position ourselves in a very good position in the minds of all of these communities that come to Nomu and, Nomu is the one that allows me to get deeper skin in the game with the products that I love. So there's a whole growth loop there as well for us to acquire community after community for our own community and for our own growth as we launch different products. So BD is a critical part of this business at first. The vision eventually is to decentralize the deal flow and to have the necessary standards in place, where it's from the logistics to the actual unit economics so that anybody can just KYB with their own business and be like, hey, I want to launch this. We have some templates ready. If it's this launch, this is what you can offer. And just do a much more decentralized deal flow at first to mitigate also potential risks, fraud, and that kind of thing. It's fully permissioned. So we're going to do the first launches ourselves, learn from that scale, and then eventually become this broad open marketplace. That's kind of the vision for the next couple of years.
I believe that. I guess the big hurdle you're going to have, which I can tell from the UX that I've seen, good job, is explaining this in an intuitive way on the platform. Whether it's in a mobile app or not,
Because there's a lot of ways you can go. You haven't really pigeonholed yourself, like from community growing to like the actual marketplace itself. There's a lot of like even in terms of, let's say, you know, I help buy something, a Web3 product or a physical product or a digital, and then it's doing really well. You know, I have that equity. You know, am I going to be able to lend it? Am I going to be able to lend against it? Like, am I going to be able to use that value in the lovely DeFi native way that we all come to love?
Yeah. So you're completely right. UX, the key, the success, the defining factor between us being a cool idea and a home run is UX, 1000%. Mm-hmm. The idea is sound. Mm-hmm. Now, can we execute and implement it? That's always the question. I'd like to think that we have the best people on our side to make it happen. And that's why having a designer from Alibaba, like he's a good friend of mine. It's amazing because he brings a mountain of experience of what works and what doesn't work for them. And we can bring some of that Web 2 wisdom into Web 3, which is known for not having the best UX in the world. So I think that's one good thing. But to kind of iterate on what you were just saying, it's actually much quicker than that, the velocity. You don't get equity that you might be able to share against it. You get actual, you get money on your wallet. You get airdropped a part of the sales. So it's much quicker. It's, as it happens, you get money airdropped into your wallet. So the cycle of what am I getting in return for this, it's very, very quick. It's whatever epoch we decide this to be. If we do the airdrops once a week, once a day, once a month, it depends how good we are operationally. But that's going to be the delay.
Is your position, let's talk about the mechanics behind it. Is it like an NFT? Like I mint an NFT and that's my token warrant. And then if I were to sell that at whatever premium, because you can see how it's doing, somebody else could take over that airdrop. Or is that
exactly? You got it. So when you buy a product, not only do you buy the real product, but you also get a NFT that acts as an IOU. As a receipt, which is the actual what NFTs, like beyond the art and the JPEGs, that's the mechanical function of an NFT to begin with. So that's what we're implementing. And then, yeah, if the secondary market exists and it's a premium that you want to opt out on, then you can do so. So we still have those Web3 mechanics enabled. And in this way, you can find analogies to what Collector Crypt and Fidgetools is doing with their Pokemon cards. It's not too dissimilar mm-hmm. from that. My intuition is to say we can go beyond RWA collectibles and very niche products. We can actually create new markets with new products. And if you look at what happened with Labubus, for instance, I don't know how much you're into this world. You know, the pop marts.
No.
Not really, but you know, they've been crazy success. Like they've done, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars of sales over the last couple of months. In raging success across all of Asia. And that's a prime example of new product market, strong IPs coming to market and create and actually exploding a brand new core and client base. And that's what we want to do. We want to enable new products to have a similar success like that with having the community win with them, which essentially will turn that community into a cult or any user base into a community, at least because you win together. And yeah, that's the one learning from Web3. You don't want clients, you want community.
Fair. So fair.
How are initial conversations, you probably can't say any specifics, but conversations with, you know, product, like your outreach, like you're having this conversation with me. I don't even own a company. Why did like I resonate with it? How is the feedback you're getting from other sources and other people?
So we're in a very privileged position to have around a dozen of deals lined up for when we're ready to go, which is what's going to be post TG, which is happening soon. So with this whole idea of like having a fair launch, we look TG really low and then create all the actual business catalysts behind that. And the token is related. There's every single time there's volume coming through the marketplace, there's buyback of the token, all of the things are happening. But to answer your question specifically, we're going to launch very, very soon after, like within the next month. The platform is going to be live with some of the top three IPs on Solana. Let's put it that way. And from there, you can kind of derive who it might be. And we're going to keep going from there. So the idea is to launch once every, ideally every week, if not every fortnight, but have very recurrent launches at the beginning. Just get us up to speed, increment that velocity. Brands get it because they understand that what this does is explode your LTV. Your lifetime value for every consumer that you have just goes through the roof because you now create an emotional connection with them that was just simply impossible to create without before. Like if you tell a client, here, get a coupon if you bought 10 ice creams and like the 11th ice cream is on us, or here, win with us as we sell ice creams and feel like you're part of this business, like you're part of this community, like you win with us together, it's night and day. And so when we actually did projections on customer acquisition costs, we look, how much does it cost to sell a similar product today on Facebook? How much do you spend on ads? What's your CAC? And we compare to what we think the CAC is going to be. We're actually not even in the same league. It's you spend so much less money for such a stronger distribution than if you do it on Facebook. Because the amount of waste that you do on Facebook or any other platform, using Facebook as an example, to kind of target the right people, get them to convert, your funnel is leaky. There's so many things that happen downstream of even the ad display that make the CAC explode. And we've seen that over the last 10 years, the even on YouTube, where this is going to live one day, the money per click that you need to pay has exploded. It's gone 100x. It's got two orders of magnitude. It's so much more expensive, so much more competitive to do ads than in Web2, that it is ripe for disruption and create a new distribution model that in this case is also much healthier. Because for once, I'm not giving like cringy ads down your face to get you to feel some kind of emotion and have an emotional reaction to buying a product. I'm telling you, this is a cool product. You can win with it. If you believe in the value of this, give it a try. It changes everything because your time horizon expands. You buy for the right reasons because you think it's valuable rather than cheap. And brands just get it. The unit economics makes sense. The philosophy makes sense. And that's why we've had really good success BD-wise.
That's cool. Yeah, it's so much better than collecting email addresses and hitting spam.
Right.
And now you're not forcing brands to have to spend so much on marketing and like, how do we go after the ideal person? How do we make it look pretty? Should we use AI? All of these segues, when the important thing is just like, make a good product and be good to your users. And then if they can focus on that, then they can make better products because you're not wasting resources on all these little side quests.
That's right. And you know, at the end, this entire marketing industry today, of e-commerce at least, it's all based on this idea of how can I fine-tune pushing messages down your face through ads and convert you as much as possible? Or like, how can I best engineer virality? That's kind of this whole, the last 10 years of marketing has been about in social media. How can I engineer virality? But the truth is that the products that have really gone viral have never socially engineered it. If you look at Yeti, like, you know, the big boxes, that success came truly from the bottoms up. It didn't come from top down from ads that kind of tried or paid influencers. It was people that love the brand, love the product, posted it by themselves, did like the Yeti challenges back in the day that wasn't sponsored, where they were like, here's a can, or like the Stanley Cup, the same thing. You know, the Stanley Cup when it burned into a car and the whole car burned down, the one thing that didn't burn down the car was a Stanley Cup, and that exploded the sales. those are authentic moments that you can't socially engineer where any marketing team. And that's what then creates this virality, and Stanley Cup sales just did orders of magnitude after that. So we are setting brands up for success in that way by just letting real customers become full-hearted believers behind you, win with you, and they'll do your marketing. And at the end, you can't replace word of mouth and if it's genuine. And in this case, we're setting up the business for that.
That is a solid point, and it makes me think of a good question. Is it the intention to have some form of a like media platform through Nomu? Because if you give community members the tools to upload their product feedback, things they like, things they do, whether they can get rewarded for it or not rewarded for it, you know, it's kind of sweat equity anyways if you want it to do well. So it's like giving them the tools to be able to share it on Twitter or like wherever they want to post it.
You know, it's an excellent question. We had some early discussions about it, how we're going to do it. You definitely onto something. We need to create down the line the most seamless way possible for you to do the work that you're supposed to do here as an early ambassador, as a brand, I believe, as someone who has skin in the game, and allow you to help make it a success and reward you for that as well. So we having early gamification systems ready that kind of track those kind of behavior. It's not bulletproof yet, but we're working in it. It's still some work to be done. It'll definitely be like iterations going forward.
It makes a lot of sense too, because not only are you saying, hey, product A, quit wasting your money on marketing, give it to the user, but also your user might create some marketing for you.
Exactly.
And it's like what you just said with the Yeti challenges and stuff like that. That's lightning in a bottle. That's what's for.
Yeah, we see the same thing. That's exactly right. Couldn't agree more.
That's cool.
This has been good. Before I wrap it up, I want to know one more thing. You're using Web3, God bless, as sort of this proving ground. And one thing we haven't really talked about is, going after normies, right? Like, because this is a product where you wouldn't really even need to know you had blockchain integrations. With the way that app stores are becoming more friendly, being able to log in, create an account. Oh, you're collecting Nomu. Okay, you're using, Stripe upload, whatever. All the off ramps and on ramps. What's the thought process behind where do we want to go? How much do we want to expand within Solana before we go, okay, let's start to target the Web2 users?
Yeah, it's almost scary to say, because I feel like it's been the thing every single founder since the dawn of time in Web3 has always said, like, we're going to onboard the masses kind of thing. But you have a point. This is the really cool thing about doing real products, not trading props or having a revenue share on trading fees generated on the DEX. These are real products. It could be digital products. Don't get me wrong. Like, it could be a subscription. It could be an ebook. It doesn't matter. But it's also going to be physical products. Is that you actually, by design, bridge into the real world, into Web2. And so, as you said, we're not a Web3 company. And I think most companies shouldn't position themselves as Web3 companies. You're using Web3 because for the specific use case you're trying to apply, it is the better tech, full stop, that's it. It is much easier for me to do remittances and distribution of value by Web3 rails than if I had to use TradFi banks or like neobanks. It just doesn't work. So the whole UX that we need to build is exactly what you said. It doesn't need to feel Web3 at all, until it absolutely needs to feel Web3 to get the money back. And in our case, for instance, the way we're going to design this flow is that you can buy the product using your Apple Pay, Google Pay, whatever it is. There's going to be wallet being created for you in the background. So you don't have to claim it. You don't have to worry about it. You can just receive the product. And at one point when you ask yourself, wait, where's my revenue share? Then there's a link, and that's going to prompt you with a wallet creation that always preloaded with the money that you do. So it's not perfect, because you still need to download the wallet at one point, but we're making it as attractive as humanly possible for you to download the wallet, which is there's money waiting for you in there. It's yours. Just go grab it. And essentially, you don't need to worry about it until very down the line in the user journey, and you can just experience it. And even the UI will tell you you're getting the revenue share. So even if, like, same way that any UI tells you this is your balance, you'll be able to see it on that UI. If you then actually want to claim it at one point for yourself, it's going to sit in that wallet for you. We're going to keep iterating and tinkering on this and see how we can make this flow even better down the line. But the idea is very clearly, as a go-to-market, we do great success on Solana because we have proximity here with strong IPs. We have our partners in place, and the proximity understanding is here. The classic thing you would imagine as an ideal path is big Solana IPs that we're launching with Pudgy Penguins, which Luca has actually been the first one that's backed us a while ago. So there's a very fair chance that we might be able to do something with Luca down the line. Same with that Rec Drinks did it with Abstract, really, if you think about it. And from Pudgy Penguins, you go into Web2 and go big brands, take their communities. It's not Web3. It's just a new platform that's really cool. It's really beautiful. You can get skin in the game in whatever product you use. And from then on, we Trojan horse them back into Web3 afterwards.
And that's the move. No, everything you said is spot on. There's a million steps in between here and there, and you're going to iterate and zigzag. But exactly. I've spoken with Moonwalk and Dolphin, consumer crypto, and it's happening. Just like the same way I talk with like RWA guys with our Agora. You know, it's whether it takes a bear market to get there or not is relevant. We're moving towards a world that is so much more like crypto coherent, and the infra is coming. And so I think you're building this at the right time. It's the right time for this sort of, you know, attack on consumerism. I might not have said that very well, but it's how it rolled off. So this, I think you're right place, right time.
I like a lot of material is how to rewrite consumerism. Consumerism today is broken in many ways. So amen. I echo that. I like it.
All right, dude. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
Those were both of us, I think, meetings coming up. So I think it's perfect timing. I appreciate so much, man. It's been really nice. So everybody who's listening to this, we've met through the Lucy Drakes community. And I've had dinner with about 12 of the Drakes by now. And my goal is one day, if this works, I'll be there bidding for one of them in the time. I don't have the money for it yet. I need to be careful with what I do. But that's the goal. Like, you guys are an amazing bunch of people, and the amount of talents, brains, but also heart in this community is just insane. So, thank you so much for also taking interest in what we're doing and helping me, supporting me just by giving me exposure as well through this amazing podcast. And yeah, can't wait for what we're going to build in the future together, man.
I love that. I love that. Full disclosure, I am a pre-seed investor and I'm very happy about that. And I hope to see you in the Lucid Drakes, my man. It was a pleasure chit-chatting and have a wonderful day. And see you at Breakpoint, I hope.
See you, absolutely. See you at Breakpoint, man. We'll see the products we launched by then, because by then it would have all been happening already. So you'll be able to feel and touch what's happening. And so our goal is to have a couple of the booths in a Breakpoint with the products already there. And the only way you can get them, if you know,
nice.
It's the only merch you won't be able to get for free, because it's going to be much better.
I love that. I love that. Well, sir, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, just running lean and running mean.
Yeah. I love that, dude.